All right. Well, welcome back to Juno Afternoon. This is going to be an enjoyable discussion. So sit back, get ready. It's kind of going to be a mental oasis, and a mental and emotional oasis. You know, for many, the COVID journey has just compounded everyday struggles, stress, strain, worries about employment, basics like housing and food, and of course, the safety of family members, especially elders. But others have said one of the silver linings of COVID's isolation has been that we've had more time for reflection, and some have even said it's helped them live more intentionally. And joining us, two people who are always thinking about living more intentionally, and they draw on their native culture to do that, Dr. Gary Ferguson and Mita DeWitt. Welcome to Juno Afternoon.
Thank you, Rhonda.
Well, Gary, I want to start with you. Gary is with Washington State University and does educational outreach at their medical school, and Mita is a traditional Tlingit healer. But Gary, maybe you can tell us a little bit about how you came by traditional knowledge and wisdom.
So I'm originally from the Shimigan Islands, we're a fishing community, and, you know, grew up very close to my grandmother, my mother's mother, who was a midwife and truly had a healing ability in the community. And to me, I grew up hanging out a lot with elders, and our Indigenous elders have so much wisdom to share with us. And from a generational perspective, it gave me this deep appreciation for our plants as food and medicine, our traditional foods, our language and our culture. And, you know, my grandmother, who went to boarding school in Eklutna, had deep wounds and trauma through that experience, but it made her even more passionate about the importance of culture and the traditional ways that have kept us healthy for generations. And so that kind of built the interest as well as the passion that I have. And of course, through naturopathic medicine, and that really drew me into the field because of a more holistic approach that really honors our Indigenous ways of healing and the approaches that have kept us healthy for generations. And it's really important to remember that during this time of the pandemic, that we've got a lot of wisdom to draw on. So that's just a little bit about me and what drew me into a more holistic approach to healing and really honoring our Indigenous ways.
And holistic seems to be the operative word. I know that, the city fire and rescue department talked about this new system they have, that it works because it's holistic. And of course, Mita, you have an interesting story about how you come by your traditional knowledge, because you come from a long line of healers.
Yeah, on both sides of the family. So, like most of us, being born in a community in Southeast on Prince Wales Island in Kuwak, raised with subsistence foods in my younger years. So, you know, the picking of plants is a normal thing. You have berries and beach greens, and that's very normal. And then having that guidance and just making it accessible on a regular basis. And then when I was a little bit older, we moved to Portland, and my grandfather, he learned from his father, who was a naturopath and chiropractor as well. And so that's when, about seven, is when my training with use of plants started, and started working with aunties when I got older. And of course, when I was a teen, I didn't want anything to do with it. And they made me learn salve and all that kind of stuff. And then I actually came back to it in my 20s. And really had a desire for it. And at that point, I ended up finding mentors like Dr. Rita Blumenstein and other plant mentors. And of course, in my family, the family shared knowledge. And then working with Gary at the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium, doing a lot of great work around there. And then just continuing to advocate and build and, you know, rematriate our knowledge that is ours inherently as our birthright.
Well, Dr. Rita Blumenstein, you mentioned her. She's quite getting on in the years, but she's also known as one of the 13 grandmothers, a group of grandmothers from all over the world that met and prayed and tried to think of ways to help future generations go forward. And I understand that Rita actually contracted COVID at one point, but I believe she recovered, is what I heard.
Yes.
So that's good to know. But, you know, when you mention people like Rita, they have a deep body of knowledge. And both of you have worked with people like Rita and other healers. So out of all the things you've learned, what comes forth out of this COVID experience that you've used that directly applies? Gary, you want to start with that?
So, you know, often there's such fear-based approaches to the pandemic, which of course, this is a virus you don't want to mess around with and you want to respect it and go to healthcare facilities should you be having complications. And of course, rapid testing, fortunately, we've had some really great evolution of the testing aspects, but often what's missed is the importance of keeping yourself healthy with good food, nutrition. We know vitamin D and making sure your vitamin D levels are higher, that may improve the likelihood that you don't have as many complications. But from an Indigenous perspective, you know, I always like to remember, like, we are those of us who have generations of ancestry in Alaska, you know, we're survivors. We've survived past epidemics, pandemics. We have incredible repositories of knowledge as we look at our botanical medicines that can help us to ward off some of the complications of the disease, as well as help keep our immune system strong. And also our values, as we look at the values that are ancestors have passed down to us as priorities, values of respect. You know, that means we wear a mask. That means we are respectful and we take care of our elders and we protect them. I mean, it's who we are as Indigenous people. That's our values. We don't push back on that. And, you know, things like taking care of yourself, respect, you know, looking in the mirror and being respectful of yourself, watching your stress levels and, you know, having tea and clearing out the energy. I mean, it's like, there are wonderful plants that have been burned ceremonially to help clear out negative energy. And we found now that they actually have antimicrobial and antibacterial properties, antiviral properties. And it's a good idea. I mean, my mom would always open up the windows and she would, you know, cleanse the house when there was sickness around. And that those practices are still as valid today as they were for hundreds of years. And so like there's a lot you can do rather than sit in your home and sit in fear, which of course sit in respect, but don't sit in fear, I think is really important. There's so much that we can draw upon to stay healthy and vital during this time and also minimize the potential that we're going to have complications if we do contract COVID-19.
So Mina, in your storehouse of knowledge, what are you drawing from?
Well, very similar, of course. You know, my father was a fisherman, and so I think that Gary and Maya's kind of outlook on this is going to be very similar in a lot of ways. I think of it as, you know, weathering out a storm. So in our traditions, we're used to long winters or long events. Even before we experienced the pandemics that came up here, you know, with the explorers and post-colonial contact, those lessons were to take care of family, right? And also that vaccines do make a difference. We've seen this in our Indian health services with, you know, different vaccines over the years, but we lost 90% of our population with the Spanish flu and smallpox. So we know what that can do to communities. And so in honoring that spirit, I think many of us, especially community you know, people who are in the front of the community that you can see, we've made a point of getting vaccines to help model that healthy transition. And part of this, it's been a year, Rhonda.
I mean, we've
been at home. Yeah, we have 8 kids, 7 at home. The first 6 weeks, you know, we were in full lockdown with everybody else, with all the kids in the house. And so we had to do things that are totally traditional, right? Like we have dance night. And we might be, you know, using different music or traditional music or modern music, but we have dance nights and we have dance parties with all of the kids. And we play board games and we go on walks, right? And we do art because too much blue light exposure can even bring down your immune system. So you have to get out. You have to play and find ways to laugh. And like Gary's saying, you have to have the nutrition. A lot of the data that's coming out from researchers from around the world is air pollution has a big role to play. You know, nutrition has a big role to play, and underlying health conditions has a role to play with your experience in COVID. And of course, there's people who might not have any of those and they still have a negative experience. We have to respect the power that's behind this. And I think that is a cultural value, having that humility to understand when we are not better than or greater than this thing that's here to teach a lesson. And we also have to be pragmatic in the way that we look at it, because as the world gets warmer and as our ecosystems transition, we're going to have more and more examples like this that are going to come forward. And we have melting permafrost and new microbes. And so, the faster that we can adopt healthy practices and that interpersonal respect for ourselves and others, right, of wearing masks and keeping each other safe and healthy, I think the better that we'll transition through these coming times.
You know, one of the things, too, is that's different about this, and although, you know, in 1918 and 1919, Alaska was touched by this worldwide pandemic, it is something that the whole world cannot escape. You know, we're all a part of that. As traditional healers, as spiritual leaders, do you feel that there's something that we should take note in that this is something, you know, many things don't touch the world. Not all parts of the world have tornadoes. Not all parts of the world have drought. But all parts of the world are experiencing COVID in some way.
So I would just start off by saying that, you know, as Mita alluded to, that, you know, we're deeply connected to the environment, to nature. You know, spending time in nature is really important. The planet is reflecting that it's in crisis. And I believe that this virus is a part of that. I think that when you look at systems that are compromised, they're more likely to get viruses or get sick. And, you know, just like ourselves, you know, we need to monitor our stress levels. We need to spend time in nature, spend time in a loving family situation, connecting with each other. That helps our immune systems be as strong as possible. And the same with the planet. We need to take care of the planet. Those, you know, this is a value that's deep in all of our cultures, is to respect the land, the sea, the culture. Those are Wununga values. Those are Tlingit values. Those are values of all of our indigenous peoples, that we respect the land and the environment. And right now we listen to the environment, that, you know, it's needing us to respect her and take better care of her. And through doing that, we actually, you know, we may survive. Is my hope. And I think that indigenous nations across the planet right now are coming together and saying, we need to honor our practices, these ceremonies, these ways of respecting and honoring the earth. And through that, you know, we're going to have policies. We're going to have ways that the earth, the water can stay clean, the air can be less polluted. I mean, all of that's going to contribute to our long-term health. As Mita shared, it's like there are more things coming if we're not careful. And even then, probably coming at us, and we need to stay strong. We need to improve our resiliency through connection.
You know, the world has just been sort of like in a constant state of low-level inflammation and sometimes eruptions, you know, with social justice conflicts. So many things happening right now. Our politics, it's just this inflammation that exists society-wide. And of course, we know with diseases like diabetes and heart conditions and arthritis, that constant low-level inflammation is what leads to that. And, you know, I think with COVID, you know, we've got another level of inflammation going on. You know, it's not enough to cripple us totally, but we have to pay attention to it. And so what are your thoughts about how we might get a handle on that, aside from going outdoors, finding family, but what are, you know, how do you just kind of dial into that and become aware of it?
The worldwide inflammation that we're experiencing? Well, you know, we have traditional stories that talk about this time and that it's coming. So for people who have taken the time to listen to our elders, Even Wilson Justin talks about how our systems and the way of keeping balance between the human world, spiritual world, and natural world went out of balance at the time that explorers came for extracting fur-bearing animals, right? So that's when we went out of balance. And it will perpetuate until we start becoming responsible for ourselves again. It's responsible for our behaviors and not over taking more than what we need, right? So as a people, we have to become aware of our impact on the natural and spiritual world. And so Gary's talking about, you know, like those policies of clean air, clean water, you know, cleaning up our trash. And there's things that cause inflammation in our biological systems, which also cause inflammation in the natural systems as well. So we have microplastics, we have radiation, we have oil and gas, and those chemicals will inflame the natural world as well. So what's good for us, you know, what's good for Indigenous people is good for all people. What's good for us is good for the earth. And when we transition into this mode of thinking, we'll have abundance for us and other systems, and it will come back into balance.
Well, we've got about a half a minute left, so Gary, bring us to a close here in our conversation. Some good thoughts to leave us with.
So I'm going to channel a little Dr. Rita right now, and so Dr. Rita shares, she goes, we are free to be who we are, to create our own life out of our past and out of the present. We are our ancestors. When we heal ourselves, we also heal our ancestors, our grandmothers, our grandfathers, and our children. When we heal ourselves, we heal Mother Earth. And Dr. Rita is very close to both Mita and I. We hold her up in prayer as well as she navigates this chapter of her life. And she has impacted both of us in a way of like this wisdom that she shares, you know, is going to help create future generations that are going to be healthy. And we hope that for the planet right now. And thank you for having us.
Thank you, both of you, for kind of giving us a little mental oasis, which we like to have on Juno Afternoon. Thanks.
Gonna cheese.
Gonna cheese.